The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I find it interesting to give Dharma talks because I do planning and thinking and, you know, organizing and stuff like that. And then what happens is I get closer to the Dharma talks, and then all of a sudden it just like it dissipates. Everything kind of dissolves. I have nothing to hold on to, which isn't a bad thing. But it makes me a little, it's a little nerve-wracking sometimes. So what came to me just a few minutes ago was to talk about, it is what I wanted to talk about anyway, but different words. And this is giving oneself to the moment and doing the best we can within that. And what I am using is our worldly mind, where oftentimes we have a lot of clutter that we bring to our moments. And by that I mean the greeds, the hangers, and the delusions, which cloud our movements in throughout the day, which cloud our ability or our way of being able to see the fruition of our practice. And we all know this, but it's just a different take in the light of, if we can let go of the clutter, some of the clutter, well, maybe we can live in the moment a little bit more wholeheartedly. And I think about two examples. One is living with clutter, and I think you all know about that, would be something like, if you are not present with what you're doing and thinking about something in the future, then you're not obviously giving your attention to what you're doing. And it can actually affect what you are doing. It takes away from the moment. And you can say, if you're thinking about something that's going to happen that you're anticipating. Well, those things need to be attended to. I'm not saying that we don't do that, but I'm also finding that there are times when we can actually do things simply without so much clutter. For example, taking a walk. You know, we all do that. We walk from the car to the house, you know, whatever. And not really thinking a lot of the next step. You just take the next step. It's simple. You put one foot out, you take the next step. And there's a real difference in that than dragging a lot of things along with us that can cloud that moment. To live in the moment. This is what our practice is pointing to over and over again. After all, we don't have anything else. So why do we spend so much time elsewhere? Anyway, we do. So what I'm thinking about is, instead of trying to spend so much time about what's happened in the past, or I could have done better, you know, all that sort of stuff, or in the future, I'm afraid of this is going to happen, all that, to really take some time throughout the day to come, say you're going to walk through a door. Just walk up to the door and simply open the door, giving yourself to that moment. Opening it up and stepping through. And what I find there can happen is that we're not carrying around so much clutter. And it actually is, I don't know what to say about a nicer way to live, but there are moments that are more in tune with what the Buddha's teachings. How's that? more in the, I don't know, just giving yourself 100% to the moment has a different take, a different action than not. I think we can all relate to that. And it gets close to finding the stillness that we find in meditation on our cushions and bringing that out into our daily lives. It's giving ourselves a chance to be able to know that that stillness is in our daily lives as well. Taking a simple act, just letting all that stuff go, just for a moment. Opening the door, I don't know, picking up a fork to eat. Taking the time, giving ourselves that gift of being able to do that. And in thinking about this, I find there were times that I think we all know about where you don't have, you just automatically give yourself to the moment, you give yourself wholeheartedly to the moment. And what came to my mind is I used to do a lot of downhill skiing, and when you get skillful enough, you take a fall line. So you have a mountain instead of going, traversing all the way across and then timidly, you know, turning around and going all the way back. And like that, you take the fall line right down the mountain, but you don't go straight down, you check yourself. You cannot think about anything else. You really can't. You can't afford it. The consequences are obvious. You fall. Because you have to be alert to things that come your way. You know, okay, well, here's a little place to check yourself, which is to check your speed. But, you know, it may not be the same little place that you just checked yourself, and it could have a little bump or a rock, or maybe there's a tree there. So you have to keep adjusting your action, your movement. And but you are so in the moment with that. And I started skiing when I was in high school, and even at that young age, with all the thoughts that high school people have, which is a lot... I recognized that that was a way that I could let go of the things that bothered me and worried me. And I recognized that. And it wasn't like I did ski a lot because I loved it. And I don't know. And I think part of it was because of that ability to move in a place where there wasn't so much clutter. No, not so much worry, not so much, you know, stuff we happen to kind of load on to whatever it is we're doing. And what I'm talking about giving yourself to the moment or moving into it with stillness or stillness in the activity or the activity in stillness is not so much a knowing of the stillness, but with our heads, but it's just a knowing that is, I don't know how to say it. It's not ours, it's not a thing. It's not a conceptual thing. It's just a movement. Moving with the universe, it's a bigger picture than just ourselves, our minds. I think Dogen makes a really good point in his one of his chapters in the Shobogenzu. It's called The Painting of a Rice Cake. And I find that a lot of times I'm living from my head through the ideas that are being generated by my thoughts. And I feel like that's missing out on stuff, that moment, you know? But this kind of knowing that I'm trying to explain, because it's not an easy thing to explain, is it has no value. It has no place to stand. It's not comfortable. We can't rely on it for, you know, getting, you know, through the day and, you know, a manner that is familiar to us. And it has no value in a worldly sense at all. And I think of the Hote. You know, he's got a... He's done his training, and then he comes back into the world. And what he comes back into the world with are some tools, granted, on his big bag on his back. But it's said that he comes back into the world with bliss-bestowing hands. And what are those hands full of? Nothing. I find that interesting. So it's not a set thing. It's not a conceptual thing. It's just a moving... in the moment, with the universe. Not a big deal. I think, and I do believe that we do this all the time, but we don't recognize it. Now, what I have found are some stories about this that I personally find helpful. And let me take a look here. So I thought about building a rosary. And the rosary is going to be about what I'm just talking about. And I'll give you some examples of what I have found helpful for me about stories that help me look at life a little bit differently. And the rosary has not a lot of beads on it, not yet. And the rosary has a string, and the string doesn't have a knot in it. The knot is without a knot. It is just one circle. It goes around and around and around, and the beads are on there. And I'll keep adding to them one at a time. The rosary is that giving oneself in the moment, doing what needs to be done. And the beads are not theoretical expressions of the Dharma, but they're real life expressions of the Dharmas, as much as I can discern. One bead is, the first one, is a story about the Buddha. There was once a man who sent for the Buddha because he was dying of some illness. When the Buddha came, the man tried to get up from his bed, but the Buddha asked him to stay put. Lying there, the man said to the Buddha, "My situation is said to be hopeless. I just wanted to see your face once again before I die and pay my respects to you." Okay, fair enough. The Buddha said, "It is no use to see my body, which is going to rot and fade away. Instead, consider this. If you see the Dharma, you see me. If you see me, you see the Dharma." So that was a turning inwards and rather trying to look outwards for what we can see the Buddha in a bigger way, to take the Dharma and internalize it and not just use it as something that is over there or on a bookshelf somewhere, but try to really bring it into our own lives as best we can, to integrate it, to make sense out of it, and then give it expression. So that was one example, I thought, of giving oneself to the moment that is a potential for all of us. The second bead is a story from an extract from Wild White Goose from River Master Jiu. She was at Sojiji and got up to meditate at 3:30 a.m., Afterwards, she came back and found a trainee asleep who didn't go to meditation or morning service, and she became really angry. She went to the kitchen, and to her amazement, there was one of the old priests who had been to morning service quietly down on his hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor. She says he was not complaining about the junior monks not still asleep, but simply getting on with his work, doing what needed to be done. And what she said is, "My anger just disappeared. There was something quiet about that old man that made all the nonsense in my mind seem very unimportant." So I thought that was a good story, because if we can see that what goes on in our mind isn't really all that important. Sometimes it is. I'm not saying that we don't think or use our brains, but sometimes I just wonder if we just collect clutter thoughts without kind of being discerning about what we do take on. So her anger disappeared. There was something about the quiet old man that made all the nonsense in my mind seem very unimportant. The simple action of the old man sparkled like stars in a dark sky. So I find it that she learned something from that, and now here I am also learning something from that. Hopefully you are too. Now the third bead is from my own personal experience of I was walking on a trail and I fell off because the trail disappeared. And what happened is that after I stopped falling, there was a clear and, I don't know how to say it, but it was powerful presence of meditation that was there with me. I wasn't afraid. I didn't feel anxious. I just untangled myself with the help of my friends, my monk friends, and got up on the path and walked back to the truck. And I was hurt. I was a mess. But there was something that was more than all of that. There was a meditation that was there that was palatable that I took notice of. It wasn't something I could hang on to. It wasn't like, I could use as a crutch. But it was there and I paid attention to it because I knew I had to. Talk about being in a situation where you you want to stay focused on the moment. I was there because I knew it was really important and it wasn't just about me. There was something bigger going on. I attribute that to the years that I've been training. I also attribute to, maybe not, but just before I fell, was at a spring and I bowed deeply to this Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva statue. Because she used to be all white. But over the years, the paint started to peel off and she's all spotty and black with mold. And she's there day in and day out with I don't know what goes on. And I just bowed deeply to that teaching because I thought, this is a good example. I turn around, walk on the trail, and boom, I fall down. I really fell down. And whether there was help from Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva or not, I don't know. But I didn't injure myself as badly as I could. I could have, died, really. It was a serious fall. But that, to me, is another example of having the faith that our training has some merit. We can meditate on our cushions in the Buddha hall or in here or at home or whatever. There are consequences of that. And this is, for me, I could draw that conclusion. I could say that, I don't know. But again, I can't say I don't know either. I have to leave it open because I don't honestly know. The last bead that I have on my rosary at the moment is my own experience again, but it was with River Master Jiu when she died. For me, talking about walking through a door, what I felt was that's what she did. She walked through a door simply, cleanly, without clutter, without baggage. One moment she was alive, she stepped through a door, and that door was taking the step into death, and it was that pure. And I thought, boy, what I'd like to go that way. It was clean. And again, I attribute that to her training, to the Bodhidharma's, Buddhist training, her faith, just her willingness to go on. If it's life, it's life. If it's death, it's death. That's teaching at death's door. Literally. And I'll never forget that. And it's something that I saw. And I don't know if that's true, other people saw it or not, but it doesn't matter. I just keep coming back to that over and over the years. So that's the start of my rosary. And I'm interested in this topic for myself, and I think I'll probably find other examples that will be helpful to me. But this is what I've started to notice in my life, that we can move without a lot of clutter, and it is it's an opening of a Dharma door for me. Not an easy one, because it's not always easy to open ourselves to the moment at all, as we all can well imagine. Sometimes it's really difficult. Doing the best we can is, that's what we can bring to each moment. But it's giving ourselves to the moment rather than to all this stuff that we carry on. It's a gift. And I think about in the Brahma's net, it says that the Buddhas and ancestors are always reaching out their hands to us. And I feel that. They are reaching their hands out to all of us, inviting us to wholeheartedly live in the moment, to take our meditation from our sitting cushion into our world, and to do the very best we can. And I give that offer to you all. Thank you.